the promise. You know this about me. I love to preach Christmas sermons. It's my favorite thing. I love Christmas. Whether we've had a small little, what people would consider insignificant Christmas plan, or we've had bigger Christmases where we got to take the kids to Silver Dollar City and we got to see the parade. It has never mattered to me. I have always just loved Christmas because from the beginning, my parents, my grandparents, even my great-grandparents gave me the gift of Jesus. And if you can give people the gift of Jesus, that's enough. You don't have to have all the nostalgia. Everything doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to have the big moments or even those commercialized Hallmark-style moments. You don't have to have the snow falling and the twinkling lights and all of that. You just need Jesus. And more than just the availability of Jesus and the accessibility to Jesus, you need an inundation of the presence of Jesus. There is a difference in the offering of God with us and the experience of God with us. The offering was up to God. And in John, it promises us, John 1 and 12, that as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You have the right, but you may not have the reality. That's what we have to check in our spirit. And that's what we have to offer to our world, is not just the right. I don't just want to tell people that I encounter Jesus loves you, even though that's an earth-altering truth. But I want to say you can receive him. He gave you the right to receive him and to become his child. As many as, I almost just choked on that hair. It tried to get me. The devil just tried to take me out. The will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. Sorry, I got to go to verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. There is a work that needs to happen in your life that can't happen because someone else wills it for you, because you will it for yourself, because the church wills it for you, because Christian doctrine wills it for you. But it's because God wants you to be a child of his, not just a creation of his. We are all God's creation. But can I tell you something that's not popular? We are not all God's children. The reason for that is because we have not all taken the right and accepted it and made a choice to enter into the family of God. He gave you the right. He gave you the opportunity. He is giving you the opportunity. He is giving this world the opportunity. And we can be born of the will of God. It's a completely different thing than your current existence just as a human person. There's a difference in who I could be as the child of Daryl and Kathy Bernard and the strong-willed middle one who gave her mother fits and who always bossed her brothers and sisters, and now I boss all y'all. All of that. That's a reality, but it's not enough. It's not enough. There has to be this transcendence. There has to be a move, a shift into a supernatural reality that comes from knowing how to host the presence of God in my life. And that all comes through the gift of Jesus. And so he said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. This is a Christmas verse. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His presence, the presence of his promise, will change everything about your life. Your life is enriched through the presence and the promise of Emmanuel. He changes everything for everyone. But even right now, the existence of Jesus, the existence, the presence of God in your life changes things for unsaved people in your life. Because even the unsaved encounter the grace of God. Even the unsaved, the unbeliever, the one that rejects God, the one that's hostile towards God, their existence is changed because of the grace of God on the earth and the anointing of God in your life. And it's important that until they truly choose an encounter of God with God for themselves, that you continually change their existence for the glory of God, by the way. How is your existence impacting the lives of unbelievers? Because if you're not showing the glory and the goodness and the truth of God, then you're not fulfilling what should come from the promise of the presence and the actuality of it. But what has to happen beyond just his presence is there has to be an encounter in that. Ephesians 2 and 13 says, he, now in Christ, sorry, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace. Sorry, Crystal, you're going to get a lot of eye contact today because this corner, it's just her, it's all laser beamed on Crystal. Because where's that corner? I don't know where them people are. Well, Eunice will hunt them down later. She will find them. Well, I appreciate so much that the care team has been doing a good job of reaching out, of checking in. The care team, a.k.a. Maranatha Mafia 2.0. When you find yourself getting checked in on, don't think that you're getting singled out, okay? We just got a bunch of people that decided, I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to pay attention, and I'm going to make sure that people know that I care about them. So, and if you get a visitor's card and you are not a visitor, do not be offended by that. Do not be offended by that. What we're trying to do is make sure that every single person is known and seen and recognized. So if someone in particular has not recognized you before and they give you a card, guess what? They're going to remember you from then on out. So, I don't even remember. Oh, it was because of the eye contact. I drifted back to Eunice. Okay, here we go. We're back. Anyway, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood. He himself is our peace. He has made both one. He has broken down the middle wall of separation. He has abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, putting to death the enmity, that means the separation. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Those that are far and those that are near. That means that the presence of God being made more real, more prevalent, more pervasive, more powerful is not just for the one that's far away, but he wants to saturate every single one of us. If you were touched by the Lord in a mighty way this morning already, guess what? There's still more for you. If you have experienced God in an incredible way up to in your life up to this point, and I pray that you have, guess what? There's still more for you. There's still more. I'm going to get excited about Christmas every year. I done seen 43 Christmases. I don't need any more Cabbage Patch dolls. All right, me, my husband and I, we don't even exchange gifts. We're so terrible at it. We just take care of ourselves all year long. We don't exchange presents. It's just, you know, whatever. You get yourself something, I'll get myself something. It'll all be fine. And I'm good with that, all right? You would think that in all of the tradition that I would be traditioned out, and maybe I am, I don't know, I'm a little bit ambivalent to all of that. But one thing that I get excited about with Christmas every year is a reminder of the presence of God, is a celebration of the presence of God. I'm going to be old like my daddy. He's going to listen to this and hear that joke that I threw at him. It's a joke, Dad, you're not old. I'm going to be old like my daddy, and I'm still going to love Christmas as much as him because of Jesus. It has nothing to do with anything else. I don't want to hear Santa Claus is coming to town again, but I want to meet Jesus again and again and again and again and again. I will never grow weary of it. I will never grow tired of it. I will never grow tired of repeating this promise to myself that even though I am close to him, he brings me closer still, and I fully experience what it means to receive the presence, what it means to receive the fullness of the promises of God. Not just one promise in the name of Jesus, and in the person of Jesus to come down and dwell with me. But all that means, he gave us a right to become his children. We became co-heirs with Christ. We are seated with him in the heavenly places. There are so many promises that come with the one who is Emmanuel. And because of that, everything has changed in the presence of the promise. It's a central theme of the Gospels that we must find our place. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to preach a few of these this morning. I'm going to preach a few of them tonight. Matthew chapter 1. I'm not giving you a number because I don't know. We'll see. A few and a few. While he thought about these things, behold, and this is Joseph, by the way. While Joseph thought about these things, and he had just found out that his virgin wife was with child, and this was very overwhelming to him. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. By the way, even just in that little phrase, he's reminding him, you're a part of a promise. You are a part of a promise. You're not just a recipient of a promise. You're a part of a promise. God wrote your story for you a long time ago, before you were even born. And he placed you in the middle of a greater story that is so much about himself. You get to play a part in the beautiful story of redemption. And so there's a little callback to that right here. And he said, don't be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So this was done, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I don't know if y'all have ever heard, this is an old song, look it up after church. It's called On My Father's Side. And it's talking about God the Father. Kudos to Joseph for all he did, but let's just level it up a notch to God the Father. And so someone is asking Jesus about himself, and he says, on my mother's side, I'm this, you know, in earthly form, but on my father's side. It's a really cool song. Look it up. I don't know why it's not better known, but look it up later. But anyway, so he becomes Emmanuel, God with us. You're at a time in your story where you need to encounter the promise for yourself, where you need to have a moment like Joseph had, like all of the main characters, right? We've heard all those Christmas sermons where everyone in the story of Emmanuel had, where suddenly it was not just a promise or a prophecy, but it was the presence. It was the dwelling of it and the coming down of the Lord, of the glory of God, where everything meant more. I believe that the Lord means so much to you. I believe that all of you sitting, most of you at least, sitting in this room, if not, you need to get saved, we'll get you saved right here. We can get you in a relationship with Jesus through the blood of Jesus, right? And through your faith in him, not us doing it. Obviously, Jesus does the work. We can lead you. Let's say it that way. We can lead you in that prayer, in that confession. But if you are a believer, then I know that you love the Lord. I know that you have experienced the Lord, and I know that there is more, that there are deeper things, that there's a deeper work. God's calling us deeper and deeper still, and there needs to be, even from what surface level we have reached, no matter where that is on the spectrum, to a deeper place. Galatians 4 says, an heir, as long as he's a child, doesn't differ at all from a slave, though he's a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. And this is pointing out that there's going to be growth in your life. Even when you have attained the promises of God, you are not going to fully receive them until you grow. As long as you're a child, you will still be similar to the slave. You will still be similar to what you were before, but the more that you grow, the more that you receive, the more that you experience. So don't be frustrated if you're new in your faith and you say, I feel like I have not received everything that I need to. I feel stunted in my growth. Take steps forward. Keep pressing on. Keep pursuing. Don't settle on this is all that I will ever be or this is all that I will ever have. And if you're at a place in your life where you just say, I'm struggling in my faith, I feel dry, I feel dead, I don't feel that same flame, then it's time to grow. There's room for growth. There's room for growth. No one is saved and becomes a perfect Christian who has fully experienced all that there is for God to have for them. His grace is perfect. His ways are perfect. His spirit is perfect and leads us into all truth. And the more and more that you will surrender, my intro's taken so long, y'all, I know. I'm probably just going to preach one point. We'll see. But the more and more that you surrender, the more that you can grow. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive receive the adoption as sons, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You can do the right thing for a long time without Jesus. I challenge you. Have you just been doing the right thing without fully experiencing the glory of God? This story is full. The gospel story, the story of Jesus, of his virgin birth, of his miraculous life, is full of people who did the right thing for a long time. And the fullness of time came. And they received. They received the presence of the promise. They lived on the promise for a long time. More than 400 years. They believed for a long time. He chose Mary because she was devout. Because she had done right. Check your heart. Check your experience. Even not just the condition of your heart, but the level of experience that you have had with the Lord. It was time for Mary to experience the presence, for Joseph to experience the presence, for the wise men to experience the presence, for all of Judea to experience the presence. They had been waiting, and it was a new dispensation. We have been waiting. We have been tarrying. We have been praying. We have been looking to the Lord. And there is more. There is more for every single person in this room. Don't walk away from moments with God just going, I've had enough. I'm already super saved. I'm going to heaven. That's good enough for me. I got the Holy Ghost. That's good enough for me. There's more. There's more for me. There's more for you. There's more for Elmer. There's more for everybody in this room. There is more. Let's not stop until we receive it. With Jesus, there is more. With Jesus, there is a different experience in the presence. With Jesus, everything changes in the presence. Could you be humble enough to decide and to choose and to land on this truth that there are changes that could be made in your life? Every single one of us, there are changes that could be made in our life. And if you're a holy roller, you could roll harder. I'm serious. It's the truth. If you feel like you're already there, you just think you're there. You ain't there. Paul said, not that I have already attained. I promise you, there is more for you. I want us to get hungry for the more. I want us to look at what happens when Jesus steps in fullness to a story that he has already been in part. And by the way, none of that is ever on him, but it's on us. And sometimes it is on the timing of God in our lives that we receive a new overflow, that we receive a new outpouring in certain moments of time that the Lord has willed it for. And I'll just tell you, it don't take a prophet to know that the church is due for an abundance of the anointing of God, for an outpouring of the Spirit of God, and the church and the world is due for a change in many things, if not everything. It's time to burn for the Lord again. It's time to see the spark fanned into a flame and to see the glory of God in fullness again. The first thing that I want to speak to you about this morning, maybe the only thing, we'll see. I can finish tonight. But the first thing is that ownership and position will become offering and purpose when you realize the worth of Christ. Ownership and position of everything, by the way. I'm not just talking about churchy things. I'll get there in a minute. Ownership and position become offering and purpose. Let's look at the story of the wise men. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. By the way, in a nativity set, I have done a survey. It's pretty legit of all children that I know in my life, and their favorite animal in the nativity scene every single time is a camel. Thank you very much. Checked it with Balin yesterday. He confirmed the results that I already knew from checking with the other children. If your nativity scene does not have a camel, what are you doing with your life? Right? Sometimes they just send the wise men in there. I'm like, this is a ripoff. This is a ripoff. Carve one out or something, you know. I don't know. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Skip to verse 9. They had checked with Herod. They had tried to find where Jesus was. When they heard the king, they had to go and check with Herod because they needed a little bit of direction along the way. When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star that they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, because he said, I want to worship this baby too. When you find him, come back and tell me. And when they were being divinely warned that they shouldn't return, they departed for their own country another way. These were men that they probably were like Persian. They were wealthy. They were not necessarily religious, but they were very scientific. They were very smart. They were studious. They knew all of the old writings. They knew all of the old prophecies. Enough that they recognized, and they had seen enough of the old prophecies come to pass, by the way, that led them to recognize that this was another that they should watch for. And so while they were not pursuing him for the sake of their souls, they were pursuing him for the sake of study. If all you can do is get somebody to study Jesus, then get somebody to study him. And eventually, they will seek him. If you can move someone, and sometimes we feel like Jesus can't appeal to an academic. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Maybe, I'm going to say something hurtful. I might edit it out later. I just joke about that. I never do it because it's too hard. Maybe you are not studied enough yourself to be willing to offer Jesus to someone who simply could look at him on an academic level. You have no excuse. I have no excuse. Knowledge abounds. Learn about him. Learn about the history. Learn about all the ins and outs that can captivate the minds of men. If he cannot captivate a man's heart first, he will captivate his mind. Do not minimize Jesus so much that you don't think that he can captivate the intellect of someone. And so they're studying after him, and it prompts them to seek him. And so they get to this point where they pursue him. Their position had initially provided knowledge of him, and their choices led to pursuit. Take everything that you do know about Jesus, and I'm not trying to talk down to anyone about knowing too little. If you just know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was born to save you, if that's all that you know, that's enough knowledge for a saving faith. As much as I'm challenging the church to dig deeper, I also know what Jesus can do in the world with mustard seed faith. And all it takes is knowing that Jesus is enough to cry out to Jesus and to pursue the heart of God and a relationship with the one true God and to receive a saving faith. So don't get that twisted, that's all that it takes, that limited amount of knowledge, and you'll grow and you'll learn more. But their position provided knowledge, and it became a pursuit. You have been given knowledge, and now it's time to pursue fully. It's time to pursue wholly. If it says that signs and wonders shall follow after those that believe, then you should be pursuing signs and wonders. If it says that you will stand on the serpent's head and he will will bruise your heel, but you will crush him, then you should be trying to crush him. If it says that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, then you should move from the knowledge of that to the pursuit of that, to fasting, to prayer, to dedicating your life and your energy and your faith to that. Because if God said it, you should pursue it. They received a visitation from the glory, and they were not even spiritual. If they were spiritual, it was in the wrong direction. They didn't even fully realize who they were pursuing. You don't have to know everything to know that you need to pursue the Lord. Start there, and He will reveal the deeper things to you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He will lead you into all truth. But you've got to start here. You've got to start beyond knowledge into experience. And when you can do that, you understand that the ownership of what I have been given, and you've been given what a sacred thing to be born in the Bible Belt, to get to be a part of a church that gets to meet freely every week, to hear the gospel preached every week, to be able to pick up your phone and turn on any podcast. Be careful with that kind of stuff. Any YouTube video, don't listen to nonsense. In it, right, you got to be careful about what you put in your mind. But you are in a position like most of the world is not. Take that position and pursue. Pursue the Lord. See that position that you are in as an opportunity to pursue. How many of y'all get frustrated with young people with no debt and no broken down, no arthritis? They ain't got no debt. They ain't got no arthritis. They don't have cataracts yet. They don't have a mortgage. And you just want to shake them and say, live your life. Love the life you're in. Love this. Love this. Wake up every morning and run around the house a few times. Because that body, it won't last, right? You ever like to mess with someone younger than you and say, I used to look just like you. I used to look just like that. I used to jump like that. I used to run like that. You got an opportunity right here. You know, there was an old saying that heroic men used to live by, and it was that youth is for heroism. Now, I mean, I don't want to dog on the young, but youth is for, what do y'all call it? Bed rotting. Is that what you call it? I think it's a real thing. That just means you lay in the bed 16 hours out of the 24 day. Yeah, Sarah doesn't want to confirm it, but that is what it's called. Yes. Yes. There has to be a shift in culture. There has to be a shift in culture that once again we understand. Take what is available to you in that moment and use it for the glory of God. Take every bit of energy that you're given right now. You might not have it later. And serve the Lord, right? Right? I mean, you may not have it later. And serve the Lord with everything that you have. Take the voice that you're given right now and worship the Lord with everything that you have. Y'all know, the hardest time in my marriage is when Jordan takes his hands off that bass guitar when I'm playing keys. Because I have to keep playing. I have to keep playing, you know, and I look at him and I'm like, you're getting to just worship the Lord. You're getting to just be over there. If y'all ever see Jordan lift his hands in worship, fear for him. Fear for him. Because I'm like, play that bass. Because he's leaving me to carry that song. I don't appreciate that. And I look at y'all sometimes and I'm like, y'all can all lift your hands. And I can't. Because I'm having to play the keyboard. Lift your hands. Take every moment you have. And I'm just poking fun. I'm just playing. But take every moment that you have. Can you imagine if the persecuted church could see us? They would say, what an opportunity you have. What an opportunity you have. Use the opportunity for the King. You're here for His glory. You have this opportunity, not for your comfort. not to build a life even, but to bring glory to God. All those other things will follow after, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will follow after you. But first and foremost, it has to be, he gave me this freedom. He gave me this life. He gave me this voice. He gave me this mind. He gave me this ability. He gave me this opportunity, and it is for the Lord. We have to stop squandering opportunity, and we have to steward the life that we've been given, and we have to pursue the things of God, because everything else is vanity. If you are wasting your time on other things, I beg you, because the evil day is near, if not here, stop wasting your time on vanity and pursue the things of God with everything that you have. And I know that that's radical, but it's going to take something radical. What these men did was radical. When they loaded up their camels, when they loaded up their servants, when they loaded up that caravan and they journeyed across the country, it was radical. But they were the only ones from the region to get to meet the king. Difficult is the path, and narrow is the way, and few will find it, because most will squander the opportunity. You have an opportunity. Pursue the Lord with everything that you have. I'm sorry that Christmas sermons are mean sometimes. You'll find a position that moves from knowledge to pursuit. Secondly, you'll find joy in a journey that requires greater humility than ever before. Do you understand that for these men, kings came to them? Caravans came to them. This was a change. This was a humble pursuit that was not like them, that was not in their particular nature. Can you just pursue Jesus because he's worthy? Not because it's what people like you normally do. The most beautiful worshipers are those that don't necessarily look like worshipers to me. When I see someone that I think, man, that was kind of out of character, that was kind of out of what you would expect that person to do, I love to see people like that worshiping Jesus and serving Jesus. And I know, like, I'm the most cookie cutter, right? I'm the most cookie cutter Jesus lover ever, so I'm hating on myself a little bit. But I love to see people break the mold just to honor Jesus. I love to see that. It's such a beautiful and precious thing. Thirdly, this is all part of just this first point, and the only point I'm going to preach. Your treasures will no longer belong to you, but to Jesus. What you have ownership of will take on eternal significance. They brought their treasure. They brought their gold. They brought their frankincense. And we think, man, what a grand offering. But then also, I wonder if their wives were at home going, you can't give frankincense to a baby, right? Like, you can't take myrrh to a baby. I guess they didn't know it was a baby, honestly. They didn't know exactly what they were going to encounter. But they had to be, there was somebody that was looking at that package like, okay, this don't make sense. Of course, we know about all the prophetic significance, right, about all of the ways that that was meaningful to who Jesus would be as the perfect sacrifice, as the divine one that came from above. All of those gifts are very significant in light of prophecy. They didn't know that. They were just bringing what was treasures to them. Your treasures won't be significant, let me just say it that way, until you present them to Jesus. But when you place them in the presence of the promise, when you put your opportunity in the presence of the promise, when you put your joy in the presence of the promise, when you bring your treasures to the presence of the promise, it doesn't just change you, it changes everything about your life, right? I've always claimed my ragtag vehicles for the Lord. I had the Chrysler. I don't know if y'all remember that, but I used to have the Chrysler minivan. And when it was time for the Lord to call her home, I got the Quest minivan, and now I'm on a quest for the Lord, and that ain't just a minivan. It is a ministry machine. and it will go to the jail, and it will go to the corners of the earth. It will go to the school. It will go to the hospital. It will go wherever it's got to go, because it serves a purpose greater than it's just my family's vehicle, but it is a vessel for the Lord to use. Every single thing that you have, your family, your children, your heartaches, your past, your story, and a lot of you don't want to take ownership of your story, and that's why the Lord can't use it. That was mean too. I'm sorry about that. But man, I hate that. I hate that about my life. I hate that. It's what happened. Don't be afraid to own it under the redeeming work of Jesus and say it's what happened, or it's what I did even. But in the presence of the promise, it's just a gut punch to the devil, a death blow to the devil, honestly. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And you're no longer a slave, but a son. He hasn't given you the spirit of an orphan. Remember, I've already preached that. But the spirit of adoption to sons. What you have ownership of will take eternal significance. And things that have had ownership of you, by the way, because it can kind of get even deeper. And things can begin to take ownership of you. And you can think, I'm under the weight of this. I'm under the burden of this. I didn't choose this. Maybe you were there. They didn't, by the way. They were born into it somehow. It was a part of the lineage. What do I do with this? Give it to Jesus. And it will take on eternal significance for the glory of God. Is Rustin around? Rustin. He's not in kids' church, I don't think. Find him. Put a bounty out on that boy. Your treasures no longer belong to you, but to Jesus. What you have ownership of takes on eternal significance. And then finally, once you have found him, you will learn to be led by him in a greater way. On the way there, they had to check in with Herod. On the way there, they had to get a second opinion on direction. On the way there, they were dependent on someone else. But after they had seen Jesus, they were divinely guided. They had a divine dream. We went from I'm going to the wrong person to ask about the right thing. And we've all been there and done that. Russ, you can go ahead and come up. To all of a sudden, I don't have to ask. And I'm not saying that's pride, that, oh, I don't need discipled and this and that. But just, I'm led by the Lord. The Lord appeared to them in a dream. The Lord sent them on their way. They suddenly had a different dynamic with God than just, I'm looking at the stars and I'm studying the old parchments and I'm visiting the current king and I'm relying on everything all around to, I had a visitation from the Lord. I got a divine unction. And I'm moving and I'm operating under the direction of the Spirit. That's a whole different dynamic. God wants to take. He wants to take your search of him. And he says, seek me and you will find me. Knock and the door will be open. Ask and I will answer. He wants a different dynamic with you for your good. For his glory, in a greater sense, in a deeper way. If you'd stand this morning, I want to just pray over you for a moment before we gather into these altars. And will you just begin to pray? Begin to pray over your own heart, over your own life, over this church body, over those sitting beside you in the pews. Lord, make this just a place where we fully see and we fully experience the gift of God with us. Jesus, help us. Help us to hear from you. Help us to hear from you. Help us to walk according to your way. Help us to respond to your glory, to bring everything. Lord, to no longer desire just to be people in a particular position or people who own or take hold of a particular thing, but just to be those who lay everything at your feet for your glory. Jesus, for your glory, help us to respond to you. Those that need to be healed, those that need to walk out of guilt and shame, those that need to walk out, Lord, of the trauma of their past and walk into purpose, I pray that you would just begin to give them a boldness. Give them, Lord, a softening of their heart. Help them to realize that there are people in this room, and this is odd, it's just an unction of the Holy Spirit. There are people in this room who have still been dealing with depression, and the Lord wants to heal you of that. The Lord wants to deliver you of that. The Lord wants to restore health to you and to destroy every lie of the enemy. And this is your moment. This is a moment in time where God is trying right now to reach out and extend his hand. And maybe it goes back to that point of ownership and you not wanting to take it. You wishing that you hadn't walked through that. You resenting that. You having to carry a weight that's too heavy for you. The Lord wants to heal you. There is healing in this room. Jesus is in this room. The healer is in this room. If that's you, you say, I want to be healed from the trauma of my past. I want to be healed from the shame of my past. I want to be healed from the guilt of things maybe that you have done. Can you come forward first? I want to have some brothers and sisters to stand around you, to pray over you. There are several of you this morning. And just go ahead and begin to come forward. I want to give a few moments for this. As these come forward, can we have some just to stand behind them and pray some strong prayers? Pray some strong prayers. Come on, this is a promise. What a promise that we will no longer be orphans, but we will be daughters and we will be sons. Come on, there are more in this room that need to step forward for prayer, for just for this thing right here. I don't want to move forward and rush that. Anybody else in this room that would say, I want to take ownership of it just to give to the Lord. I want to be able to give my past to the Lord. I want to give my hurt to the Lord. I want to give my brokenness to the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, for the rest of us, can we just gather in and can we just begin to worship God and say, we're going to bring our treasures to you. We bring our lives to you. Let our lives be worship. And that's for everybody. Can we all just gather into these altars and begin to lift up a worship to the Lord? Come on, can we glorify the name of Jesus? Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. Make our lives an offering. Make our lives an offering, Jesus. Lord, let our lives be lifted up as incense to you.